Love the call of the loons. Steve Kearney, how you been?
Oh, I tell you, it's just hard to get my composure back after listening to that. But
right.
Lindsay is very creative, you got to admit.
Yeah, for sure. It is good stuff. Love the and just to keep that evergreen, I am picking the Raiders again. They have Fernando Mendoza and they have Kirk Cousins as their quarterbacks. What can go wrong? Raiders to the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't take too much attention to that because we got fishing, we got hunting. There's so many things going on, and trying to squeeze a football game is a little tough.
Yeah, for sure. I do want to get into this. Have you been in the woods setting up your stands? Because I'll tell you what, if you haven't and you get into the woods and you get around some big old oaks, the acorns... There are a lot of acorns. I got oaks in my backyard, and it's a bumper crop.
Man, I beg to differ, which doesn't happen very often, but I've been in the woods this week, and I have not seen any acorns, if you can believe that. And these are in areas last year that we just had a bumper crop, and there was zero acorns in all the areas I was at this week.
Wow.
So maybe it's, you know... good for you, but not, you know, out here. It's just one of those years, you know, where they just don't show up, and it could have been lack of moisture.
Yeah.
It's really hard to say, but I'll tell you, they're hitting the standing corn, and I can tell there's no acorns because they're not in the woods browsing. They're hitting the standing corn right now. So I had to move a few stands and a few ground blinds just to kind of adjust, and the property that I have permission on, the farmer has changed his crops totally, which is a big thing with bow hunters. And instead of having alfalfa, you know, and, you know, beans, you know, he's got hay. So those, you know, deer are not going to be browsing out in those fields. So you have to kind of pivot a little bit and change stands because they're going to be going to other food sources. So it's definitely going to be kind of a weird year. But I'll tell you, the deer numbers look really good, especially in the Northwest and the West. I'm seeing a lot of does with three fawns, which is good. That means we had two mild winters. So I think it's really going to be good. And I'm thinking about doves, Steve. Man, doves are going to be in about 10 days. And I'm just getting pumped up trying to get my gear together. And that's the kind of the opening season of the hunting season, which starts on September 1. And then the early goose. There's all kinds of things happening here coming up.
Yeah, dove season, this is one you brought up before. It is a fun hunt, a challenging hunt. Key is getting into areas around grain fields. And with all the corn and beans and farm country, kind of hard to find. But if you do, you could be in luck.
Yeah, you really have to get out and do some scouting. I'm going to spend the first day down in the North Dakota, South Dakota border, knocking on a few doors and checking if I can find some wheat and some oats. And as you get farther west, you have a better chance of finding grain fields. But Minnesota, it's tough. It's, like you say, beans and corn, and there just is very little, you know, grain. So once you find a grain field, it'll be just a magnet for doves. And they're going to start migrating here in the next couple of weeks, and it'll be really interesting because our season is usually fairly short because we get a couple of cold nights. They are gone. So we have maybe a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, depending what the weather does. But I'm really looking forward to it, getting the decoys all set up and getting all the gear ready, and bug spray, especially bug spray, is really important. That's something people forget when they're dove hunting early season. September can be hot and be full of mosquitoes, so you better have bug spray.
Yeah, and it's been one of those years, and I'm sure you saw it in the woods, and you'll see it out there. We are still in a spot. We've talked about it over and over. We need rain. You look at this forecast this week. It looks pleasant here in the cities, but there's a mention of rain just here and there, and it's not a good chance. It's like there's a 30% chance. It's just not enough, and it's getting a little more concerning as we head deeper into fall, for sure.
Yeah, this morning I was coming out of one of my local lakes, and I had to use four-wheel drive to get down and get the boat in and get the boat out because the concrete slab is like 15 feet from the water, That's how low it is. So I'm thinking 3, 4, maybe 5 feet. And, yeah, we're hurting almost on every lake in the Northwest because of that. But, you know, we just try to adapt and do the best we can. But there's some lakes you can't even get in because the water is so low. And I'm also thinking about the upcoming duck opener. I'm telling you, there's a lot of sloughs and potholes that are absolutely dry. Western Minnesota, Northwest, Southwest, and there is zero water. So this is going to be really interesting to see where these birds are going to concentrate. You know, probably little pockets throughout the state that have water. But I think it's going to be, you know, quite a challenge because of the lack of water.
Well, I hope the wood ducks make a stop on their way through and help clean up the acorns. They've done it over the years because I got a bunch of old bur oaks in my backyard, and the one, I've never seen it. I've been in this house 20 years. I brought it up on the radio a week ago, and I'm still cleaning up acorns because they're so thick, they're killing the grass. So I hope the wood ducks come in and work on them for me.
You know, what's amazing, when you harvest a wood duck and you know, clean it, sometimes they'll have 15 acorns that they've swallowed, and I don't know how they get an acorn down that skinny little throat, but they somehow do it. But, you know, maybe you have some sort of water issues with the river that's allowing you to have those acorns, because up here there's no acorns. So maybe there's something going on with, you know, the river having something to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I do water the grass, and maybe in turn the trees go, okay, let's pump out some acorns again this year. Steve, now, you got a lot going on getting ready for dove season, checking blinds for the deer hunt, but I got to wonder, with this stable weather setting up, what do you expect if someone's going to go out and try and catch some fish?
You know, Steve, that's a tough question. People ask me that all the time. How do you think the fishing is going to be in the fall? And I have no idea. It's just been such a strange summer, a strange spring. I was out this morning, had pretty good fishing, but it's amazing how some lakes are absolutely dead and other lakes are really going well. And it's so inconsistent, it's hard to explain. But I don't know. It's just, we're just going to have to see how it goes into the fall. And I think if we got a really nice cool down, drop those water temperatures down in the 60s, I think so, you know, things will really start happening. It's just up in the middle 70s right now. It's been languishing in those middle 70s for a couple of weeks. So I don't know. I think the fish are just as confused as we are, because some are shallow, some are deep. It's just a topsy-turvy thing. So I don't know really how the fall is going to shake out until we hopefully get some, you know, cooler weather. These 80s just have to go away. You know, we need rain, we need cool, we need some cool nights. And that's what gets things going, is getting that fall change.
Well, Steve, always good to visit with you. Have a great week. No show next week. We've got a Twins game in the middle of the afternoon. Twins start at 12:30 and it'll go all afternoon. So we'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll have a little dove report by then, and maybe something new on the deer issue and the early teal season and all those things going on. So we'll talk then.
All right, sounds good, Steve. Have a good week. There he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. He's been joining us for years on the weekend. And oh, by the way, we have outdoors coverage on Sundays as well between 5 and 6. There is a bit of a problem tomorrow, however, because the Twins play in San Diego, and there will be a matinee. So highly likely we won't be able to bring you the outdoor news with Rob Driesline, and that's on the air Sunday afternoons between 5 and 6. As a matter of fact, first pitch, 3:10 tomorrow. But typically on Sundays, sports schedules permitting, Rob and the outdoor news between 5 and 6 on Sunday. It is 4:17. We'll come back. Lynx win. Vikes lose today. Preseason game number 2. Yeah. Twins and Padres from San Diego tonight. Twins trying to hang in there. They got beat in game 1 of the 3-game series in front of another big crowd at Petco Park. We'll do all of that. Andy Greeter from the Pioneer Press, Gopher football, Loons soccer. We'll update you on the BMW championship. And the Senior Women's Open is underway, and some big names on the leaderboard that, including Annika. We'll have that for you here on News Talk 830-WCCO. I love that promo for the fair, the cow noises, the goat noises. Love that. That is good stuff. Fair coverage begins on Thursday. Vanita and the Morning News bright and early, and then all day. And continuing through the weekend, of course. Every day of the fair, we'll be out there. And I don't know, Lindsay, if you had heard this, and I have mentioned it before, but the booth has changed over the years, but it's been in that spot since the mid-50s. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
So we're talking 70 years in the same spot. Now, I'd assume CCO was on the grounds prior to the mid-50s, but I'm not sure where. But I've heard we've been in that spot since, like, 1955. And when I first started, the booth was different. And they built the new booth in the 2000s. But when I first started, it was more of a round building in the middle of the property. And then you would be able to walk all the way around it. And they had memorabilia. I know when I started there, they had that replica out in the hallway outside the studio. There's that, I can't remember if it's 87 or 91 Twins World Championship trophy. Mm. You know, that one in that case.
Yep.
They would have stuff like that out there. And Murrow Awards and all these other things.
We just got another one of those, I think.
You know, photos. Yeah, and just got another Murrow Award.
It's just what we do, guys.
Yeah,
no big deal.
Just another Edward R. Murrow Award.
Add it to the trophy case.
Yeah, add it to the case. So it used to be different than it is now. And then they built the new studio that you see on the grounds today. And it's great. It's fine. The air works. Which is key.
Literally
during
the most
state
important
fair.
Thing.
Yeah, working air conditioning. Oh. And, you know, they have, you know, a lot of the photos of the full-time folks in the newsroom and that sort of thing.
Yep, not us.
Once upon a time, they used to have weekend people, and there's rumors that may be coming back.
That's what Shaletta was saying. Shaletta was saying that she was getting one up. And so if she's getting one up that isn't hers like she was doing last year under
yeah,
her own power.
Yeah, where she went rogue and put up
yeah,
her own.
Yeah, we had an election at the booth yeah. last year.
And she won.
And she won. Don't ask any questions, okay? And if that's true for her, then that means that's true for you. That means you're going to get a picture at the state
well,
fair, too.
There is that rumor that I may be part of, like, a weekend banner that's
oh,
created.
There's a banner. I bet you I didn't make that either.
Yeah. So, you know, you're gonna have the big frontline talent. You're gonna have Vanita and Jordana and Adam Carter and Chad Hartman and Jason DeRusha and Henry Lake, and rightfully so. They're on, you know, 5 days a week. And the newsroom, the Murrow award winning newsroom will be featured front and center as well, but they may have room for the folks here on the weekend as well. That is one of the rumors. And it sounds like, and I don't know if you saw this photo in the company email, and maybe I shouldn't be spilling the beans. I might get in trouble, but our friends at Lindus Construction have created a gigantic sunshade, because one of the things about our spot, and it's not so true in the morning hours because you get there's shade in the morning, but you get into the afternoon hours in particular, that area in front of our state fair booth is just roasting in the sun.
Yeah, you better have sunscreen on.
But it sounds as though, and it's like we have a retractable roof stadium now, thanks to Lindis Construction.
Thank you, Lindis. How many tax dollars did it take to build it, Steve?
Yeah.
Zero.
It looks like it's a fixed roof, but it looks really cool.
Zero Minnesota tax dollars, people. Should come see it.
So Linda's really stepped up, and I look forward to seeing that out at the fair. And you know what? I've called it. We're Sweet Martha's auxiliary dining room.
The auxiliary seats. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Because it couldn't be standing room only because we have benches. We have chairs.
See, and I wonder if Sweet Martha, you know, jumped in on this creation of Lindis.
Oh, are you talking about some brand collaboration right now?
Yeah, but it is really cool. So we hope to see you at the fair. We got the water. Stop out and say hello. We'll be there every day of the fair, as always, here on News Talk 830 WCCO. You're going to be out there next Saturday with Shaletta.
Yep,
I will not
be out
there.
The hardest working day I will have all year. Come see me sweat.
So Shaletta's on before the Twins and after the Twins White Sox at Target Field next Saturday, and I will take the day off. But what is going to be the first food or drink you sample when you get on the grounds?
Ooh.
I mean, are you going to grab a pork chop on the way to the booth or a cup of coffee? What's first?
Well,
are you going to do when you get on the ground?
Hydration's the most important thing.
Okay.
So naturally, I got to find the nearest stand that has no line that has fountain Diet Coke. And usually where I find that, not because they don't get a lot of business, mostly because they are also located really closely to another business that gets frequented, the malt shop by the slide. That's usually where I go to get the pop, because everywhere else, I swear, it's five or six people deep, and I have no patience for that, Steve.
You know, over by Care 11, you and I both share a hankering for a Diet Coke.
Yep.
Right outside the Care 11 barn, and you know where that is.
I do. It's not too far from where we are.
It's just kind of around the corner.
Sure.
If you sneak through the back alley, you can get there really quick. Well, there's a hamburger stand that's been there forever and ever and ever, and right across the street is a little outdoor newsstand. So, and, you know, you got Monty's Reptiles.
Sure.
On that
I was
going to
say, it's got to be near the alligator in the pool,
right,
which
right
I feel bad for every year.
DNR Extravaganza is across the street.
I love the DNR building. It's my favorite.
But there's this trailer or this stand, and it's been there ever since I can remember on the fairgrounds. And Care 11 is in that barn, the Care 11 barn. And that's always a good spot
to
get a
Diet
Coke.
That's a good DC spot. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out. But when it comes to food, sometimes I like to go to RC's Barbecue and get me a pulled pizzle at 9 a.m. just because. You know, who doesn't need a pulled pork at 9 a.m.? Or the greatest thing at the fair, which I'll have multiple times, corn on the cob. Fresh, dip it in that vat of butter three or four times.
Oh, and I've got a hack, and I'm not going to.
What?
Because I do like sweet corn. I don't get me wrong.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a huge fan of eating it in that way, in that environment.
What other way is there to eat the sweet corn?
Well,
you need it off the cob?
I'd rather do it privately.
Okay. I don't like public corn consumption. What?
Yeah, I'm not corn on the cob in public.
What's wrong with the corn? Is it because you get a little flaky of corn on either side of your mouth, or that the butter's dripping down your hand?
Yeah.
Like, why are you so self-conscious about your corn consumption?
Yeah, I want to be alone. But when I pick it up for my daughter, and we go to the fair, I have the greatest hack ever to get to the front of the line without being a jerk about it.
Oh, my God.
I have a sneaky way to get in and get out in a hurry, and I'm not going to spill the beans.
Are you teasing this right now?
I'll tell you privately.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to share with all of us here in the
choir.
No,
I'm not throwing it out there
for
everybody.
I'll be the blessed one.
No.
I'll tell everybody else when they come see us at the fair.
Yeah, because then it wouldn't be a hack anymore if everybody knew.
That's true.
But I've got a routine to get up there and get my corn and get out of Dodge in a hurry.
Podcast
because that
Steve
that is a madhouse
just wants
over there.
To eat his corn alone in peace. Okay?
That's right. Yep. I prefer to eat my corn in private. It is 4:32. That could turn into a promo at some
point. What a random fact about you. I love it.
Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. The weather looks lovely for Sunday. And it looks like another dry week. Very comfortable. And then Andy Greeter's going to join us. We're going to talk Loons. We're going to talk Golden Gopher football. Oh, by the way, the Vikings had a preseason game. Doesn't sound like there were any big injury developments in this game, even though J.J. McCarthy may have been banged up. His day cut short. Ravens beat the Vikes 13-3. Vikes fall to 1-1 in the preseason. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. I would assume Andy Greeter joins from the Pioneer Press, covers the Loons, Golden Gopher football, Golden Gopher hoops. Andy, how you been? Hello?
Hold on, just a little trouble with the phones here. One second.
Oh.
Tap dance, my friend, tap dance.
All right, we'll tap dance. 21 minutes now in front of 5 o'clock. You already heard about the Vikes. Twins later in San Diego. And an unusual start time, San Diego time. I'm still trying to wrap my arms around this. I heard this last night on the postgame show, driving home from the state amateur baseball tournament down at Joe Schlepper Field in Shakopee. Twins and Padres get started at 7:40 our time. So that means pregame show at 7 straight up our time. But that means it's a 5:40 start in San Diego. I wonder why. So anyway, Twins and Padres tonight. Kramer on the mound for the Twins. Mize for the Padres. San Diego 1-1. Andy does join. Andy Greeter of the Pioneer Press covers the Loons and Golden Gopher football. First and foremost, Loons in action later tonight. San Jose.
Yeah, I think that's kind of beside the point with what's on with them this week. You know, their sporting director, Khalid El-Ahmad, has jumped ship with 2 weeks left in the transfer window to take the same job at Austin FC. This club is winless in 9 MLS games. The transfer window closes in 2 weeks. They've only done a little bit of business, and now their number two sporting director has to step into that role. So tonight's game is one thing, but this club has been in disarray for this entire week.
Yeah, and Andy, you know, the club has had good support. Allianz Field is well thought of. They have gone deep in the MLS playoffs, and now there is a concern about the commitment to spend, the commitment to bring players in, and a fair amount of turmoil on the sporting side or the team side, and turnover on the business side as well.
Yeah, so their sporting director, like I said, Khalid El-Ahmad, yep, is leaving to Austin. The coach that he initially hired, Eric Ramsey, left in January, a few days before the season started. Khalid wants to play a bit more forward attacking style, and his next hire, Cameron Knowles, is trying to do that, but doesn't quite have the pieces to be able to do it. He doesn't have the goal scoring to do it. He lacks the possession element of it, and he's trying to do what his former boss wanted to do, even though they were more suited to play a defensive style. And that's why you're seeing this team winless in 9 games outside of the playoff picture and in need of reinforcements. But there have been a couple of signings, but they're not the kind of impact signings that this club needs to be making right now.
Yeah, and Andy, do you get a sense from ownership, and ultimately it starts and ends with the owner and a commitment to a plan What are you hearing on that front? Because I would assume the supporters, Loon's supporters, want to know what the plan is going forward.
Well, I think when your sporting director surprises everybody, most people within the organization, that he's leaving, I think you're caught a little flat-footed. There was talk that I heard over the last couple of weeks about a long-term plan with Khalid running the operation and trying to find incremental ways to get better every window. And now he is gone, and Hank Stebbins steps into the role, and I think they're kind of figuring out as they go.
Yeah. Andy, do you think the move to Austin is clearly budgetary, bigger budget, better opportunity to bring in players and spend money?
That's a great question. You know, throughout my time working with Khalid, it didn't sound like spending was the issue that he saw with the team. But it's hard to think that it wouldn't be part of the dynamic, right? I think Austin has shown over its time in MLS to spend more money. Obviously, we've got the schedule change coming up next winter. And as everybody knows, Austin has a much more agreeable climate to games over winter than Minnesota does. So I wonder if that's part of it. It's a difficult move to swallow for this team right now, as they are coming up on the tail end of the season and have to make up some ground in a hurry without additions right now coming in.
Yeah, and Andy, that schedule move, that has to be of great concern for Loon's management. Tickets, what the weather is going to be like for matches, et cetera, and really for all the northern clubs.
Absolutely. You know, Minnesota wanted to keep the schedule the way that it was because they know that their best time to get fans in the stands in St. Paul is when it's gorgeous like tonight, when it's gorgeous like it's going to be, you know, next week and as it is, you know, throughout the summer. It's a big concern for the team. I hear from fans often about if they're going to renew season tickets given that schedule change. Obviously, they're not going to be playing in the dead cold of winter, but obviously we know in Minnesota that winter starts and ends sooner and later than it does elsewhere. So it's a big concern for this club. And I remember something that Flip Saunders used to say about trying to get players to come to Minnesota and having to feel like he had to pay a tundra tax, he called it. Yeah. And that's certainly a situation that I think Minnesota United is going to be in as well.
All right. So turmoil with the Loons trying to get a win. And once again, San Jose late tonight. Golden Gopher football, it's coming up fast. Week from Thursday, Eastern Illinois at Huntington Bank Stadium, that traditional Thursday night start during the fair. What have you seen? What are maybe the things that stand out for you for this football team going into 2026?
Yeah, I think it's a team that has kind of set a standard as an 8-win outfit within the Big Ten. They finished in the top half the last couple of years. It looks like for a few practices that I've seen and what the roster was last year to this coming year, it looks like they can be in that mix again to finish in the top half of the league, which, like we've talked about previously, is a good thing given the low spending that they have in NIL and rev share compared to their Big Ten competition. I think Drake Lindsey has shown the signs that he can take the next step here this year. I think he had a great foundational year last year in his first start and his first time through the Big Ten, and now it's about, you know, finding his way into the top half of quarterbacks within the league. He's had really good days when I've seen him. He's had some inaccurate days when I've also seen him play. I think one of the big concerns on the offensive side is the right side of the offensive line. That was in transition. That struggled last year. It's been a transition this offseason, and I still kind of haven't seen enough from that to show that they can get the running game going like they say they want to. Defensively, I really like what I see on kind of all three levels over there. Obviously, they are losing Coy Parrish. That's going to be a stinger for them, but I think that's one of their deepest positions. They've shown over their time with Danny Collins as the defensive coordinator and position coach back there that he usually turns out some pretty good safeties that, you know, started before Coy was in this program. I think there's some position battles, some guys I like up front, like TJ Bush, a California transfer who has over 90 pressures over his career. That's a nice add to have him with Anthony Smith and what Carter Mens was able to do coming on last year. So I think defensively they should be solid, but there's a few question marks on the offensive side that I have through a few practices that I've seen.
Andy Grady joining us covers the Gophers and the Loons for the Pioneer Press and joins on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Mississippi State in game two, you got to worry about take care of business against Eastern Illinois. But then you get an SEC team in here for a mid-afternoon game, and that will be on CBS. That is a good opportunity for fans because I think sometimes there is criticism of the non-conference schedule, but there is no doubt you get a team out of the SEC in here. That's a pretty good deal for the fans.
Yeah, I think that they're going to be a much improved team from last year. They went 5-8, I think 1-7 in the SEC and Gioletti's first year. But they went to a bowl game because other teams opted out, and yeah, they've got a dynamic quarterback in Kamarion Taylor that I think could be a problem. And obviously so much of this offseason has been about what the SEC is saying about the Big Ten and the Big Ten saying, hey, look at the three rings we have from the last 3 years. You guys seem like you have a little bit of an inferiority complex with it. So, I think that's going to be a big test for the Gophers, just like the Cal game was last year. They obviously dropped that game in Berkeley a year ago, and that kind of showed where the ceiling was for that team. I think this Mississippi State game is going to have a very similar feel. Now to the kind of the all-conference critiques that the Gophers seem to find themselves in regularly, I think their schedule is usually right in line with what is happening. They usually schedule a Power 4 opponent. They usually schedule somebody out of the MAC, and they usually schedule somebody at the FCS level, and that's better than a lot of other teams are doing. A lot of other teams are doing a lot of Group of Five and FCS, and the Gophers are willing to put an SEC team on the schedule, put a Colorado, put a North Carolina, you know, like we talked about with Cal. They've got, you know, Alabama coming up in, I think, 4 years. So I think they get a lot of guff for not having the strongest non-conference schedule, but I think it's certainly adequate and better than actually a lot of other people as well.
Well, and I think in a competitive sports marketplace like this, they need to. If Mississippi State, I've heard of them. You know, that's going to move the meter a little bit, maybe sell some tickets over at the U. And you look, just final thought on this conference schedule, there's some big challenges on the schedule this year in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you know, they've got Indiana again. This is the third straight year they've got the reigning national champion team on their schedule. That is unheard of, obviously, what the Big Ten has been able to do, and the Gophers getting the short end of the stick the year afterwards. So they've got that. They've got Michigan at home in the Big Ten home opener at the beginning of October. Oof. They have to go to Penn State and Happy Valley. That's obviously a very difficult place to play, but that team is in transition with a new coach in Matt Campbell. They go to Washington. I'm really selfishly looking forward to that one. My dad and brother are going to be on that trip, so that'll be a cool one to see Husky Stadium and sailgating and the Seattle environment. That's going to be a really fun one. And obviously Iowa and Wisconsin, are they ever going to get over the hump without what Hawkeye fans feel is an asterisk by the Gophers' one win in 23? Are they able to finally beat Kirk Ferentz in Minneapolis? We'll see that. And then obviously Wisconsin has kind of been the talked about team. There's a lot of buzz coming out of Madison. They're spending millions more than the Gophers on their roster. They don't have the gauntlet of a schedule. Are they going to finally be able to keep a quarterback healthy and be there at the end of the season for a Black Friday game? So there's obviously a lot of intrigue on the Gopher schedule and challenges, but, you know, that's life in the Big Ten.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Andy, always great. Thanks for the time.
Yep, thanks, Steve. Take care.
There he is, Andy Grady, Pioneer Press, covers the Loons and Golden Gopher football and hoops. 8 minutes in front of five. Quick break. We'll come back. PGA Tour, BMW Championship, FedEx Cup playoffs. It's the Wyndham Clark Show and the U.S. Women's Open. The Senior Women's Open is underway. Some big names on that leaderboard. We'll get into that here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins Padres later, lineup card at 7. First pitch 7:40 our time. That's a 5:40 start in San Diego. I wonder why that time. I've got to dig into that a little more. Golf, the third round of the BMW Championship at Belrive Country Club St. Louis. Yeah, Belrive. dripping with old money. Wyndham Clark just ran away and hid. 65 today, 5 clear of Rory McIlroy and Patrick Cantlay. Chris Goddard, Gary Woodland, 11 under. Colin Morikawa all alone at 10 under. Everybody done for the day. Forgettable day for the most part for Scotty. Up and down, got frustrated at times. Scotty at -5, so the world number one. He'll go into the Tour Championship, the number one anyway, but Wyndham Clark by 5 heading into the final round tomorrow. And one other tournament I wanted to get into, U.S. Senior Women's Open. Maria McBride, 66 today at 7 under. Becky Morgan, Annika Sorenstam, 4 back at 3 under par. So that's cool. Some big names in the Women's Senior Open. Michelle Redmond, even. Kari Webb, 1 over par. Julie Engster, great champion, 4 over par. But Maria McBride leading Annika by 4 heading into the final round there. We've got to run. News and weather coming up in a moment here on CCO.